Lord be with you. Nowadays, everybody has a phone, a cell phone. You carry one, do you? Everyone does. So we can call, and so we could not miss any call. How many calls do you get per day? Lots, eh? And who calls you? Do you answer each call? One day, I have to pick up a teenager for practice. When I got to her place, I called her to let her know that I'm outside waiting for her. After the phone was ringing for a while, and I got this message: "I don't feel like talking today. Please leave a message." I thought that was so funny. You think so too. But I do that all the time. But I was bad. I was worse. I don't even leave a message. I just ignore the calls. Today's message is on calling. Yes, it has to do with our everyday's call on the phone. But it's more, much more. It is about the calling in your life. Your life has meaning and purpose if you know the calling in your life. You may be just starting out to discover your calling, or you are in full speed pursuing your calling. Or you have been making some bad choices and have to start all over again to discover what your calling is. Or to some of you, you might think, "I have accomplished my calling already." Congratulations. But I wonder, why are you still here? If you have accomplished your calling, shouldn't you be up there in heaven? Okay, let's clarify what I mean by calling. In one sense, calling is related to what you do. A job, a career, or what you love, a passion, a conviction to fight for equality, justice for the poor and less fortunate, ends the world hunger and poverty, save the environment, or a benchmark of success, to win in a team, to be a billionaire man, and conquer the fear of the impossible, jump from the cliff, or be the most imaginative designer. When you are young, you probably have to answer this question a lot. What do you do, or what do you want to be when you grow up? The answers could be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a nurse, a policeman, a chef, garbage collector, a fireman, an engineer, the prime minister, or the president of the United States. An astronaut, an artist, maybe an actor. Wow, what noble cause. In people's eyes, including our own eyes, what we do define what we are. And what we do become what we are, who we are, our identity. For example, I'm a pastor. I teach and I preach. And I'm also a musician. I play the piano. So that's how I define who I am. How about in God's eyes? Is what you do what you are? And are you called to do what you do? Thankfully, I say yes to both of these questions. I hope you do too. or are willing to discover what your calling might be in life. Oh, speaking about calling, I just remember I have to call Jeremiah. I have something very important to talk to him. Jeremiah, where's Jeremiah? Okay, Jeremiah. I hope he answers. Hey, Jeremiah, listen. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appoint you as a prophet to the nations.
Lord God, look, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth.
Hey, don't say I'm only a youth. You must go to whoever I send you to and say whatever I commanded you. Now do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. Look, I'm touching you and I'm giving you the word on your mouth. Now, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah. Thank you, Jeremiah, for answering the call. From the call you have just heard between God and Jeremiah, first of all, we learned that your calling in life starts with the caller who calls. When God called Jeremiah, the first thing God let Jeremiah know was that God, the creator of all things, the heaven and earth, and everything in it, was the creator of you, Jeremiah. God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Here God said, I formed you, and I knew you. God was telling Jeremiah that Jeremiah was not born by chance. It was not an accident. It was not because his parents were married or out of wedlock. Jeremiah was born by God's sovereign plan. And God said, I knew you. It was an expression of personal intimacy. When God said, I knew you, God meant he knew Jeremiah, not like the way you or I know Jeremiah. We don't really know Jeremiah. We just read about him, heard of him. But God knew Jeremiah, not just intellectually or spiritually, but God knew him physically and emotionally. In fact, this is the way God knows you and I. None of us were born by chance. We were all fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Psalm 139, 14 said. Better yet, we are his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, said Ephesians 2:10. God went on to say, before you were born, I set you apart and appoint you a prophet to the nations. Did Jeremiah think, oh, what an honor. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Not at all. Jeremiah knew how tough it is to be a prophet. Jeremiah was born of a priestly family. His father was a high priest, Kilkiah. Kilkiah helped Josiah, one of the few good kings of Judah, to find the book of the law in the temple and help King Josiah to execute religious reform. Perhaps Jeremiah knew how corrupted the religious system was and how far his people have turned away from God. Nonetheless, God told Jeremiah that he was set apart to be a prophet, to speak on God's behalf. Not only to God's own people, the Israelites, but to the nations. These nations were the enemies of the Jews, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, and the Elamites. Jeremiah lived during one of the most critical times in Jewish history. We live in a very difficult time as well, so-called post-Christian or post-Christianity era. Governments are setting laws that are questionable in their moral standards. Societies are pushing God away in every direction. Scholars can help but compare our time with Jeremiah's. As Christians, there is a deeper meaning in regards to calling. We are not the caller of our lives. We don't decide on what we want to be by ourselves or by others or by circumstances. We are called by a caller, the creator of life. And in order to have life, we are called to believe in Jesus, repent from our sins, receive the gift of salvation, have faith in God, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Be his disciples and make disciples. How do we do that? Let's see. Did Jeremiah answer God's call? Yes, he did. Recognized that it was God who calls and what this job might entail. Jeremiah's immediate response was, "Sovereign God, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth." We could probably all identify with Jeremiah. If God asked you to do something, what would you say? When I was asked to consider to be the children and youth pastor at Brampton Chinese Baptist Church, I thought of Moses and Jeremiah right away. I said to God, "You're kidding me. I'm too old for this." Although I have been working with children and youth all my life, but my seminary training was not in children and youth ministry. How can I do, or how can I pastor children and youth? And it is true that I do not and cannot and know how to speak. Like Jeremiah, I think God's call has come unexpected, and it is totally out of my comfort zone. It is so often that out of fear and lack of faith, the way we answer God's call show how limited our view of God is. We think we know better than him. We cannot handle the problems of the world. How can he? We doubt that God can. And we display the kind of false humility actually to make ourselves look good. However, God is not about to take no for an answer. In return, God gave Jeremiah 2 do not, but with 4 guarantees. The first do not said, God said, "Do not say, I am only a youth." Following with 2 guarantees, God said, "For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." The second do not, God said, "Do not be afraid of them." Come with 2 guarantees. "For I am with you, and to deliver you." The way God calls a person to mission has never been just a command. With his command, he always follows through with promises. He said to Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid, I'm with you to deliver you." God knew for Jeremiah, for us, it is mission impossible. But to him, nothing is impossible. We need to always remember that. If God is for us, who can be against us? We sang that this morning. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is why we often say to each other, "The Lord be with you." By saying, "The Lord be with you," we are proclaiming that we are God's people. And we are acknowledging that the Lord is in our midst. So say that often. "The Lord be with you." And you always respond with, "And also be with you." "The Lord be with you." God did not only say things that Jeremiah needed to hear. God confirms his call to Jeremiah by touching Jeremiah's mouth. Like Moses, Isaiah, and many others, Jeremiah experienced physical touch from God. I myself have experienced physical touch by God. In the first year of our mission or assignment to go to Newmarket to plant a new church that Pastor Carl and I was called to go. In one of my regular physical checkups, my doctor discovered a big lump on my neck. After many tests, doctor confirmed that it was cancerous. I keep hoping that it was not, but it keep coming back positive. And the doctor's advice was to remove it, take away the whole thyroid. I asked God if that's the treatment I should take. And strangely, he guided me to other alternatives. I opt out of operation right before surgery. The surgeon was so surprised. "Is she crazy or something?" With the help of a naturopathic doctor, my overall physical health was actually improving over a couple of years. And the lump was actually getting smaller and smaller. I thank God for enabling me to continue serving Him with health today. When Jeremiah complained to God that he do not know how to speak, God decided to actually touch Jeremiah's mouth and put words in his mouth for him to say. God is full of resources. Whatever we lack, He will supply. He empowers and endows gifts for those who carry out his call. We read that in chapter 39 to 40. King Nebuchadnezzar took over Jerusalem, but ordered the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, to treat Jeremiah with favors. Crazy as it seemed, Jeremiah was treated with respect by the enemies. Go home and read the whole Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. You'll be so surprised what God's done. Now, to carry out the call of God is never an easy task. Proclaiming God's message, Jeremiah was hated by his family. He faced rejections after rejections. He became the laughingstock. The king burned his scroll. False prophets challenged him. And he got thrown into prison, locked up in a cage, cast into a cistern, and against his will, he was taken to Egypt and died there. It was all because his call was to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to overthrow. But how about to build and to plan? Did he get a chance to do that? The end of Jeremiah's story is not the end of God's plan. The call of Jeremiah goes on. Just like what Jesus has to do, Jesus uproot the religious leaders of their hypocrisy, tear down the idols of false religion, tradition, doctrine of men. Jesus came to destroy and overthrow the power of sin and Satan. And he has to do all these works before he can build and plant. In Jeremiah's time, all he said seemed landed on deaf ears. No one repented, no one listened. Jeremiah was often heartbroken. Can you imagine? With his own mouth, he told them what to do and what not to do. With his own eyes, he saw the destructions of his beloved city, Jerusalem, and God's temple was burned down to the ground. Jerusalem was totally ruined. He saw his people got taken away to Babylon. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because how much he cared for them to return to God and repent of their wicked way. Does that mean that Jeremiah has failed to accomplish his mission? Apparently not. Jeremiah had persistently carrying out his mission, even it was so tough. He may not have seen the work of building and planting, but because of Jeremiah's answering to God's call, God has used Jeremiah to proclaim God's word and deliver promises that we are still hang on to today. Also, God gave Jeremiah the prophecy of the promise of a righteous branch to spring up for David. This happened in Jeremiah chapter 23, 5 to 6, and 33, 15 to 16. A righteous branch to spring up for David. Who could that be? This prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. There are other promises sprang out from chapter 29 to 33, continually fulfilled in the life of God's people throughout centuries. verses from chapter 29 to 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. Mrs. Wong prayed this prayer all the time for each one of you, for my life and for my children, each Wednesday night at prayer meeting. And chapter 31, verses 33 say, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is our prayer, that God has put his law within us, in our children, generation after generation. Through the calling of Jeremiah's life, I hope you get a sense of a deeper meaning in regards to calling. We are not the caller of our lives. We don't decide on what we want to be by ourselves or by others or by circumstances. We are called by a caller, the creator of life. And in order to have life, this is your primary calling. You are called to believe in Jesus, to repent from your sins, to receive the gifts of salvation, to have faith in God, to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Be his disciple and make disciples by the blood of Christ, his death and his resurrection. God builds and plants that same resurrection power into the life of each one of you, into each one of the life of every believer. Do you believe that? Have you heard him calling? Hey, Tommy, what are you? What are you doing? Following? Following who? Why? Oh, because he calls you. Let's pause. Are you afraid of something? Or do you say something to the Lord? I can't. Ask him or listen to him. What he say to you? Will respond in praying Psalm 71. Thank you. Amen.